Hey, you're listening to Raglan Community Radio, and on the line I've got Ruby Gibbs. Good morning, Ruby.
Kia ora, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you've put together a thing called My Mental Health Toolbox, and I heard about this via Raglan Food Co. because they apparently gave you a little bit of funding for it. But to start with, just tell us, My Mental Health Toolbox, what is that?
Well, it is going to be a small booklet filled with sort of mental health tips and tricks that I have used in the past that have really helped me get to a good space. And we're going to be releasing it and putting it all over town for free. And hopefully it can become a really good resource for people and for their friends and their family.
Okay, so what's your background in this whole situation?
Like, yeah, what's your qualifications? I have a psychology.
Go ahead.
I have a psychology degree, which I graduated from a wee while ago now, but I've always been really passionate about mental health, and I've travelled a lot, and through the psychology degree and sort of my own journey with my own mental health, I've sort of got a bunch of things that have really helped me, and this all started because I made one for my sister, trying to give her a bit of a hand when she was having a tough time, so now I'm going to try and get it out into the bigger world.
Okay, so how does it work? Like, if you get a hold of it, what can you do with it?
There's a bunch of little tips in there. So the pages are designed by a bunch of female artists in Raglan, so that it's pretty cool to look at, first of all. I wanted it to look really striking so that people are drawn to pick it up. And then most of them, I would describe them as mental health maintenance tips. So maybe not for when you're at your lowest low point, but things to do every day to implement into your daily routine that will hopefully help to sort of create a healthier base level, so to speak, for your headspace.
Okay, so what sort of things can you give us an idea about? What sort of things you could do?
Oh, yeah, sure. One of my favourite ones is positive self-talk. So instead of potentially, you know, looking in the mirror and thinking, oh, I don't look great today, just get up every day and tell yourself you look amazing. And that can work for a bunch of things, and that's one of my favorite ones. And another one is about self-esteem. A lot of people think self-esteem is sort of this inner feeling, but self-esteem comes from doing esteemable acts. So once you decide something that makes you feel really good about yourself, and if you keep doing that, your self-esteem grows. It's not internal, it's external. So those are a couple of my favourite ones.
Okay, so why is it external?
I think, personally, for growing up as teenagers and being women in this day and age, I think we were sort of taught that your esteem is how you feel about yourself. But it comes from doing esteemable acts, and the more you do, the more your esteem grows. So, for example, I really like to be of service to my friends, and I often stitch up my friends' clothes, like if they've got holes in their clothes, and they'll always say, like, I'll get you something, and I say, no, it's something that helps you, and that in turn makes me feel good, and then that makes me feel like a good person. So it's sort of this cycle of, instead of putting all your self-esteem on your internal feelings, start doing it externally, and then your internal feelings will grow, and you'll feel better about yourself.
I imagine some people will be thinking, but is it really that simple? Is that all I have to do?
Well, it's certainly not. Like, it does require a lot of different bits and pieces. But I think the biggest thing for me to say is to really commit to yourself and commit to it. And it's not an overnight fix, you know. It takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of commitment. And I think the biggest thing I would say to people is just, like, really, really prioritize it. And do the things that make you feel good every day. And like I said, it's not necessarily tips for when you're at your lowest low. It's more to just, like, maintain that healthy headspace throughout your week or your month, or, you know. But, yeah, it's certainly not an overnight fix. It's not easy.
Is it possible that we're actually doing some things like that and kind of mentally discounting them as being very important?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think there's, like, this idea of reframing things in your head as well. So you're right, just doing things and reframing them and being like, yeah, that was a good thing I did for myself today, and sort of putting that in, like, a pile of what you're doing for yourself. It's like working out, you know. You work out your body, but you've got to work out your mind every day too.
Yeah Is there, I'm trying to remember, like, as I came out of school or through teenage years and things like that, like, self-esteem would seem to be an issue for, you know, everybody in that age, just about.
Oh, yeah.
That's still the same, I presume?
Yes, well, I'm 30 now, but when I was a teenager, I don't have the body type that was displayed around me growing up, and right. for a while there, that was really hard for me, and I started reframing it in my head, you know, and I think girls and boys have it really tough, and I think even more so now with social media and things like that. Like, luckily for me, I kind of missed that boat a little bit, certainly in high school. But yeah, I think it's a major problem. And so if we can get this information to younger kids who might be able to get in there and reframe things when they're a lot younger, then maybe they won't have as long of a journey to get to feeling good about themselves, you know.
It's interesting you mentioned social media, because of course we've just had revelations that the social media companies actually know that they're bad for teenagers' self-esteem. Do you have is there any advice in your mental health toolbox about how to deal with that?
Yeah, one of the pages that we sort of briefly touch on there is just refilling your cup. You know, if you're feeling low, you've got to fill that cup back up. And the biggest one is putting your phone down. It makes a biggest difference. Put your phone down, go outside. I know that these sound like simple things, but sometimes they're not what people are doing, you know. And I think just shutting it down and walking outside can make all the difference to how you're feeling.
Yeah, is it a kind of an addiction?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, and even myself, like I'm trying at the moment to cut down a little bit. But yeah, it's really hard because you're positively reinforced. You know, you post your photo, you get the likes, you feel good about yourself. But they're empty. You know, it's an empty feeling, and it keeps people thinking more and more and more. And I think I don't know the answer, to be honest. You know, like it's really tough on our young kids, and I think if we can encourage them to get outside and put the phone down and find their esteem or anything else externally and in the outside world rather than in their little box on their phone.
I sometimes have this idea that, like, the young generation that's coming through that's grown up with it, they might actually get on top of it and they might develop ways of kind of controlling it for themselves. Like, we all go, you know, we all go through in our teens and 20s and we work on ourselves and go, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. And it's easier to change at that age. I sometimes wonder if it's the middle age and older people who are in the end going to be the ones who struggle to put the phone down or walk away from the computer.
Yeah, you might be right, eh? I do have a lot of hope in our younger generation that they're informed and aware, and maybe they'll have a different journey than the older crew who sort of had nothing and then they suddenly had everything in their phone and managed to grab it, whereas maybe the kids who've grown up with it will phase themselves out of it and we'll move into like a new era of what we use our phones for, perhaps. I hope that kids are on that journey and, yeah, hopefully it gets a little bit easier.
So you talked about your sister being like the spark for this, and you guys were in the Chronicle with your photos in there as well. Was that a challenge for her to like put her face to it?
Oh no, she was thrilled. You know, it was interesting when I gave it to her. I really didn't expect it to go further. I just wanted to do something for my sister, and I know that sometimes talking to your big sister is not always the best person to talk to if you're having a tough time, and I knew that I had some things that could help her. And when I gave it to her, she immediately shared it with all her friends. I was getting all these messages from people saying how cool it was. And sort of her and our big group of friends really encouraged me to push it further. But yeah, initially I truly had no expectation. I just wanted it to be for her and even just to put a smile on her face and make her day a bit better, you know. But yeah, it's certainly snowballed into something a bit bigger.
So at what point did you decide to take it further?
I'm sure you read the article, but the day that I gave it to her, I lost a close friend of mine to suicide, which was pretty tough. But maybe about a month after that, a friend's mum sat me down and spoke to me, and she said, you know, I think you've got something quite special here, Ruth, and I think it will really help you move forward. So it was probably about a month after I gave it to her that I started thinking about it properly.
Right, and then... What did you consider? Like, how do you go from there?
Well, I
got this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I went, well, I'm a terrible drawer. Like, the initial one is like six people and rainbows.
Right.
So I went straight to my friend Molly McCabe, who loved the idea. She's a really great artist. And initially I thought me and her would just do it, work on it together, but then I sort of got a few more friends into it. So I got Fleur, who's an artist in town, Aisha, who does ceramics, and she does the collage, Ariel Hughes, who's down in Wellington, but she wanted to get involved, so she's been helping, and Lucy as well, who's an incredible artist. So they've all done two or three pages each,
right.
And it's cool that it's turned into, as well as a mental health thing, it's turned into a little bit of a showcase for these artists.
So it's basically done all on a volunteer basis, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm so grateful. They've all put, like, seriously quite a bit of time into this, and they're all busy with home ventures, and I'm really grateful. But, yeah, all on a volunteer basis.
Okay, and when can we see it? If I'd been able to interview you in the studio today, would you have brought one with you?
Well, I could have bought the original, but we're just finalising the final touches on the design process, and we'll be taking it to print in the next week or two. So certainly before Christmas, it will be at everyone's store, at my sister's shop. That it will definitely be copies there, but once I've got it, I'm going to go around town and get it in as many businesses as possible, so you can find it there, and I can definitely drop off a copy to you at the radio.
What is India's shop?
Everyone's store.
Located
the one by the laundromat.
Right. Okay. I can't keep up with every single thing that happens in town, so I didn't know she was doing that.
Yeah, she took over just before lockdown. So, she's been a massive support to me through this. So she will be the. She'll definitely have coffers in there.
Yeah, she'll champion it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so that because Raglan Food Co has given you a bit of funding, is that to print it off?
Yes, that's covering the printing costs. Really, really grateful to them for that. It would have been pretty hard to get it off the ground otherwise. It's not super cheap doing printing things like this. And, I'm really grateful for the community support and feel pretty lucky to be able to share it with this community who has really given me a lot in my life. So I'm excited that everyone's kind of stepped up and helped me and in turn helping a lot of other people, I hope.
Yeah, and I mean, I got the email from Zalayla the other day, and she was pretty excited to be getting us talking about it. So,
yeah, she's seen a few previews of this, so she knows what's coming down the line. So, it was really nice. I have been feeling I really care about it, and it's quite personal to me with the loss of my friend and my sister, and that. So there's this aspect of putting it out in the world that feels quite daunting, but hearing the support from people like Zalayla and my friends who have seen it, it's really given me that push to get it over the line. So I am really grateful for all of the beautiful people around me.
Yeah. Hey, a serious question. You talk and you guys are happy to talk about mental health, like you're a slightly younger generation than me. People seem better able to talk about it, but people are still really struggling. Is life tougher these days? Did people used to not talk about it and just drink, or you know, like what?
what's it's
kind of people are trying to talk about it, but still we maybe aren't getting that far yet. What's the kind of the story around all that, do you think?
I think it's certainly generational. Like within my group of friends, we're really, really open about it. But even to a point, like my friend who took his life, like we often talked about it openly, and that was one of the things I struggled with afterward. If we are talking about these things openly, but this is people are still taking their lives, then what's the answer? And I mean, I don't really know. Like I just want to. This might be a little drop in the bucket what I'm doing here, but I really, really hope that if we can sort of intervene with kids when they're a bit younger and they can learn these tools, then maybe it'll be better. But I do think generationally it's really open. But it's just like at the end of the day, it's really scary being vulnerable. That's what it comes down to, and it's scary. But being vulnerable can just like open up your life, I think. It has for me, certainly. So being vulnerable is what we all need to be doing, and I hope that the younger generation is going to be more open and talking. But in saying that as well, I don't know if it's harder. I think life is always hard, but I think there's, for younger kids, there's a lot more distractions and things going on that might make it a little bit tougher.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. Hey, folks, we're talking to Ruby Gibbs, who's just come up with my mental health toolbox, which you're going to see popping up around town real soon. Is there any kind of online connection with it at all, or is it just going to be like in a hard copy?
Initially, it's just going to be a hard copy, but we do have an Instagram, so it's My Mental Health Toolbox. So go on and follow us there. We'll be posting updates and having a bit of sort of community engagement via there. Down the road, there might be some sort of online copies happening, but for now, it's just going to be a hard copy in the Instagram.
And do you, given that you just started off just doing it for one person and with no even thoughts about it going wider, now it is going wider, do you have further thoughts about further down the line what might happen?
You know, I would, in my dream of dreams, it would be really cool to be able to go and talk to school kids and sort of expand it into a little bit of a bigger platform that, rather than just the hard copy. So that would be really amazing. But at the moment, just going to see how this goes and see what sort of reaction we get to it. And at the moment, since it started, I've just been taking it one step at a time as it comes, and I'll keep doing that and take whatever opportunities are thrown at me. So, yeah. I'm excited.
Okay, that's awesome. That's really awesome, Ruby. Nice to talk to you. And maybe sometime in the future we'll talk about next steps, or who knows. So, yeah, good luck with the future there.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.